This is Growing in Grace. And now, here's Richard O'Phil.
The devil now speaks our language. By that I mean he's redefining the words we used to convey spiritual truth. Because of this, we must be careful to do two things. One is that we must continually remind ourselves of the meaning of words. This is necessary because the Scripture speaks to us in words. Therefore, if we change the meaning of the words in Scripture, we will find that we have changed the meaning of the message. Secondly, we must not attempt to reduce truth to sound bites. In other words, we should not try to see how few words we can use to explain what salvation is all about. For example, we could say that in order to drive a car, all a person has to do is get in and turn on the key. Although that would be true, it would not be all the truth. And I don't need to tell you what could happen. The Bible is written so that if we get the big picture, we'll get the right picture. We must remind ourselves that while we may throw away the box and packing material that a new piece of furniture comes in, we are not wise to throw out anything from the Word of God. Truth does not come packed in popcorn. If we were starting from scratch, it would not be so difficult for us to understand what the gospel is and how it works. But because our understanding is so often overlaid by erroneous concepts and misunderstandings, God has graciously brought His Word to us from a number of different perspectives. These perspectives are not exactly the same, yet they are never adversarial, nor are they contradictory. They're all pieces of the puzzle. And as we get them together and in the right place, we will find that many of our frustrations in Christian living disappear, and doors that seemed before to be shut will now be open. There's some concern that we've been too negative in our concepts of the Christian life. Whether something is negative or positive should not be a concern to us, but rather whether it is true or false. When the serpent told Eve that if she ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, she would not die, that was positive, but it was a lie. When God said that if they ate of the tree, they would die, that was negative, but it was true. There's a word that seems to have fallen through the cracks in recent years, and this word is seminal to a growing and dynamic Christian life. Yet there are those who, because of the spin that's been put on it, are not comfortable when they hear it mentioned. They believe the word is negative, and that word is repentance. This word represents a concept that is indispensable at the beginning of the Christian walk, and in fact is one of the engines that makes it possible for a person to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I used to be a plasterer. In the plastering process, a base coat of plaster is first applied to the wall. When that is dry, finely crushed lime is mixed into a paste. The lime will become the finish coat. In its natural state, when lime is mixed and applied to the wall, it will dry, but it will not set up and form a hard surface. To make that possible, a small can of plaster of Paris is added to the lime mix. When this mixture is applied and smoothed out, it will give the wall the firm surface that's required. Friend, like the plaster of Paris, repentance is the component that we must continually add to the Christian life if we're to get the finish that God desires of us. Remember, the purpose of the gospel is to make us like Jesus. When the word repentance is often seen as a put-down, people don't like to hear it. But the revivals of the 18th and 19th centuries were a call for the people to come to Jesus and repent. During the last 100 years or so, instead of calling people to repent, the approach has been to invite them to come to Jesus to improve their lifestyle. This emphasis is a relatively new phenomenon. In the Old Testament, the message of the prophets was a call to repent. When Jesus began His ministry, His theme was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John the Baptist's call was a call to repent. Peter on the day of Pentecost preached, "Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out." The great revivals in Europe and America were all based on a call to repent. When it's rightly understood, repentance is not a put-down word, but it's a word about change. It means that we don't need to let the past continue to drag us down. If we will only experience repentance, we can get a new start. These days, the call to repent has largely been replaced by a call to acceptance. It may seem to some that this is another way of saying the same thing. However, the word acceptance tends to infer status quo, while the word repentance is about change. While the word acceptance is a good word, it can be given a spin that may actually block what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our lives. If you hire someone to work for you, how would you feel if they said, "If you hire me, I want to tell you that you're going to have to accept me just the way I am"? This could sound as though they're not willing to improve their skills. Inasmuch as the Christian life begins with a death to the old life and then a new birth into a new life, change is very much what the gospel is all about. When rightly understood, the Christian life is hardly what a person would call being stuck in a rut. The story of the prodigal son makes it clear. The young man came home to his father just as he was. His father received him just as he was. But he didn't accept him just as he was because he smelled like a pig. It wasn't long before the young man had a bath and clean clothes. Friend, we must come to Jesus just as we are for the simple reason there's no other way to come. We don't take a shower before we get in the shower. We get into the shower just the way we are. But when we get out of the shower, we are not the same way we were. So Jesus receives us just as we are. But when we come to Him, something wonderful begins to take place. Given the climate in society and the spin doctrine that the devil is doing to the gospel vocabulary, I've come to the conclusion that it would leave no room for confusion if instead of saying that God accepts us, we ought to accept each other, we would do better to use the term that God receives us as we are, and so we ought to receive each other. Another word that's been introduced of late into the mix is the word dysfunction. This word can make repentance seem to be unnecessary. Now, I don't deny the existence of what is known as dysfunction or the impact it has on our lives. Dysfunction is real, and it impacts our lives. Unless we deal with dysfunction, it can impact future generations. The problem with some of the current emphasis on dysfunction, with all of its hows and whys, is that it places the responsibility for what we are on someone else. Typically, the mindset is to see our parents as the cause for our problems. Now, there's no denying that we are all in some way dysfunctional. And there's also no denying that the way we were raised contributed to what we became. The question we must ask ourselves now, however, is why are we the way we are at this moment? Wouldn't it be fair to say that what I am today, I've decided to be? Here is where the gospel and what it teaches about our past suddenly becomes very relevant to our present life. The gospel, friend, is not about the past. Rather, it's about the present and the future. Being crucified with Christ, being born again, and having a spirit of repentance, we are able to make a break with the past and are set free to be born again and to begin again. The gospel doesn't deny the past. It simply refuses to let it get us down. The gospel also does the greatest favor one could possibly do to a human being, and that is it holds us accountable. We don't hold a poisonous snake accountable for biting someone or a lion for eating cattle. That's the way those animals are. But thank God, He doesn't treat us like animals. He holds us accountable. The word that demonstrates this is the word repentance. And it makes sense that God would not call anyone to repent who wasn't responsible. God does not call animals to repent, but He definitely calls the human race to repent. And this is not because He's putting us down. Rather, inasmuch as we were created in His image in the first place, it's only the call to repentance that can get us back on track. As long as we allow ourselves to be prisoners of dysfunction and hold everyone accountable for what we are but ourselves, we'll have no reason to repent. Repentance fits perfectly with being crucified with Christ and being born again. Repentance is, as it were, the handle by which the grace of God reaches down and lifts us up and out of our dysfunction and gives us a new start. But when we don't respond with a spirit of repentance, the forgiveness of God has no place to go. Another thing, repentance is not just where we begin. It is an ongoing characteristic of the Christian walk. A spirit of repentance is our admission before God of our continual dependence on Him. Of course, repentance is not something we bring up from within ourselves. It's something that God gives to us. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. Thank God for this most wonderful gift. Remember, my friend, repentance is not a put-down word. Rather, it's a word that transitions us from one life to another. Oh God, we're thankful that you've given us the gift of repentance. We're thankful that you receive us, that we come to you just as we are. But when we come, you give us a bath, as it were. You change us. You put your garment of righteousness on us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his death. Thank you for his resurrection. And may our lives always be in him. In his name we pray.
If you would like more information about Growing in Grace, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 800-752-3226.